may have mentioned this before in another homily at a different time. When I was setting up the nativity set and they found the wise guys upstairs and brought them down and put them in their place over here, I was thinking of the faith that they possessed. And it's really odd to use the word faith because we often speak of faith as faith in Jesus Christ. So whether we call the faith, faith with a little f, or faith in the science that they possessed at the time to read the stars and to recognize that events were taking place in the world through what they observed in the stars, they responded to the wisdom that they clung to. We see in the scriptures and following in the New Testament, we see in the writings that, I think it's St. Paul's letter to the Romans, how God hid in creation wisdom. It's why I think this is really nice, the little stars that are amongst the little plants that are there and the tree limbs and such, recognizing that God had put the beginnings of wisdom even in his creation as he had ordered it. And for the nations who were in darkness, the first reading today, the prophetic word that is spoken about the nations, all of that is fulfilled in the events that we celebrate today. That the nations will travel, the nations will come in search of light, and they will come to Jerusalem in search of their light. Not just the light of a star, but wisdom to illuminate their minds. These three wise kings left everything in order for this pilgrimage of sorts. And we take for granted when we travel somewhere, we take for granted that our cell phone will work when we get there, we take for granted that the plastic that we keep in our pockets will work in the ATM machines and will work through and be able to buy food and buy whatever we need. We take all that for granted. We take for granted that now we can pull out our cell phone, speak a phrase, translate it to another language, and let the person hear. We take for granted. Well, I guess with COVID-19, it changes everything. But anyway, the point being is our ability to travel and to go and to feel at peace and at home, to feel safe. We think of three wise kings traveling by themselves in the darkness of camel. But you know, it wasn't just them. If these are kings, they had to carry all of their wealth with them that they were going to need for the journey. They couldn't just stop at the, let's pass through Babylon and pick up some money at the bank that we left there last time we passed through. They carried everything with them. So if they were carrying their money, they also had soldiers and guards to keep them safe. You know, we received a donation of the old nativity set from Curia of Ars Parish. And what's beautiful is it looks just like our own. And so I'm like mixing and matching and this and that. We're going to take our old set and fix up all of the chipped pieces and get it repainted. But some of the kings and other people, they're going to get demoted. And I'm just saying, they're going to become companions on the journey. They're going to become the soldiers. They're going to become the companions on the journey. They needed to have soldiers to protect the money that they carried. They needed to have their wise men and their scholars come with them. This was a journey, my brothers and sisters. It was a pilgrimage of sorts. They left everything that was familiar, everything that was comfortable. They left home and family in order to set out on a journey that they did not know how long it would take them. They didn't know when they would be returning home to their families. There was great, great uncertainty, great danger that they were facing. And so their action is not simply, let's just get on I-70 and drive down the turnpike. You guys got money for tolls? Yeah, we're good to go. Should we bring some food? Nah, we'll grab some food along the way. We travel without thought these days. And we miss the significance of their journey and the risk that they take. They have expectations on their pilgrimage. Where do they go when they arrive? They are going to see the newborn king of the Jews. So where do they go? Jerusalem, the capital. And when they arrive in Jerusalem, where do they go? Well, they go to the palace of the king, right? Newborn king of the Jews, we expect that there's a baby in Herod's palace. Now we know why Herod was so upset. They showed up in the palace. This is where the newborn king should be born, right? Congratulations, Herod. Hey, I'm sure they didn't do that. Hey, here's a cigar. Congratulations, right? You know, you got a new baby boy. That's great. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. And he was disturbed. You see, Herod was not a really good guy. He had done many, many evil actions in order to solidify his kingdom. Many people died in order for him to be king. I'm sure he was greatly disturbed by the news. All of Israel knew this was the time of the Messiah, and yet Herod had to call the scholars of the law to him because he didn't know where the Messiah was to be born. He had to ask those who did know, and they had to refer to Scripture. They had to seek the light and the wisdom that they longed for in Scripture. You see how beautiful it is? Not only does God put seeds of wisdom into nature that the Gentiles might not grope in the darkness, but might have a dot of light, a moment of light for them to be directed towards wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But also God gives the gift of Scripture to his people Israel, that they would glean from it wisdom and knowledge of how to live their life. And so he sends them to Bethlehem. Is he a big believer? If Herod was a big believer, don't you think he would have accompanied them? I mean, seriously, Bethlehem is, because we all know, right? Because Bethlehem is just like a short drive from Jerusalem. If Herod really believed, and he was really anticipating the birth of the Messiah and desired for the Messiah to come, he would have gone with him, don't you think? Here you go. Go to Bethlehem, the little village out there. You go. Find the child. When you found him, then send me word. I'll come and give him homage. Sure you will. That's why they were warned to go home a different way. They are delighted to see that the star goes before them to Bethlehem. They are delighted. And it's mysterious in the writings of Matthew because it says that they approached the house where they were. And then what the scripture says, it says house, not a stable, not a cave, but a house. So we don't know how much time has taken place since the birth of Jesus. And in the word, it says they saw Mary, or they saw the mother with her child. They use the word child, which means toddler. Not baby or infant, but toddler. So time has taken place, time has passed. That's why when Herod goes to exterminate all of the boys in Bethlehem, they are like 2 years and younger. Jesus is older. It matters not. They have finally come to their destination. In their pilgrimage, in all of the risk, in all of the dangers that they have endured in order to arrive, with all of their expectations, we're going to go to the palace of the king. There we are going to honor the newborn king of Judah, the current king of Judah. He'll be ecstatic that we have come to do this. All of their expectations shattered now to a little town, to a little house, to see the mother with the child. And yet the shattering of their expectations do not rob them from where they have come. And even though they cannot understand with their eyes why this child will be and is the newborn king of the Jews, they give to him their gifts. And it says they rendered him homage. What does that mean, my brothers and sisters? Do I ever go to your house and like, hey, for dinner, and the first thing I do is I bend down and I render you homage when I come into your home? Some of you are shaking your heads very precociously. Homage is what we render to God. Even in our first Eucharistic prayer, when it comes to the point in defining why we are here, it says, you know, we come here to pray for the salvation of souls and people and their health and well-being, and to give you worthy homage, God. For you are God, we worship you. Is this lost on us that these three wise kings travel from their nation in the darkness following the light in order to render homage to the newborn king of the Jews, to worship him? What is it that they have seen in the stars that makes them so confident that this is not just a man that is born, but that he is God from God, light from light, true God from true God? They would worship him. But that is what they do. They know something that others do not. It is the primordial faith, this gift given to reveal to us that salvation begins in the incarnation, that all of humanity will experience salvation because of this baby child. Shining in the darkness, not only to bring wisdom and understanding to Israel and to Judah, but to all the world. So what do we do with this, my brothers and sisters? It's always the big question, right? It's a great story, Father. What do we do? Well, if we imitate the wise men, we will act. Because if their faith is small, because it is a pinprick of truth that is found in creation, how much more so our faith? Our faith, because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how much greater is our gift? How much more clear is our vision? How much more certain our destiny in Jesus Christ? And yet at times we are timid and afraid to risk anything, to put on that guy. It should not be so with us. We have seen more. We know more. We know the fullness of the story. We haven't searched for the stars to know this. It has been given in the revelation of Jesus Christ in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to you and to me, to his sons and daughters. We are to act in boldness. We are to act beyond our expectations about how it should be. I'm sorry, did any of you start 2020 with certain expectations about what was going to happen that year? Certain expectations about conferences you were going to go to, or retreats, or vacations, and different things that you were going to do. I got so sick and tired of lining through things in my calendar and kicking them down the block another 2 months, only to line through them again and to kick them down 2 more months. I was like, enough, I'm not putting anything, just give me a pencil. I'm tired of lining through stuff. I'm going to erase it as if I never hoped. We had certain expectations and hopes. And yet, what did we do when those hopes and expectations were not met? My brothers and sisters, this year, 2020, much of the secular world is ready to throw it in the trash can. Right? You've seen the memes. Seen the little cartoons, all the different things. Big trash can, 2020, poof, thrown in there, like packing it down. Like, thank goodness it's gone, right? You know, I mean, people could not get to 2021 fast enough. And why? Because their expectations, built on foundations that are not Jesus Christ, were shaken throughout this year. Not only for those who do not believe, but for those who believe. My brothers and sisters, can we look at this last year as an act of God's mercy? Because I truly believe that this is what it is. An act of mercy on the part of God, so that everything in your life that is not set solidly upon Jesus Christ, the light of the world, everything that is not set solidly on Him, must shake and be revealed that it is not built on solid ground. That the things that are not built upon Him and for sure are shaken. And therefore the people of God should not put their trust in these things that shake. For they will disappoint and they will fail us. Well, when you put it that way, Father, that sounds like something good. Yeah, to see clearly with 2020 vision the truth about how things are and their value and their worth and their strength or the lack thereof in all of those categories. Can we rejoice at what we have learned by God's mercy this last year? Because I don't think it's done. Like, oh, Father, don't say that. I don't think it's done, my brothers and sisters. And I think if we see it as God's mercy, then we will not be disappointed. And we will recognize what we needed. That God can bring good from the destruction of so many things that were not built upon Jesus. Things in my life have been shaken. I say that to you, like, just in case you have this illusion that, well, Father's a priest, and so everything in his life is good and solid. He didn't lose anything this year. Bull. If we're going to be honest with each other, our lives have been shaken. So what do we do? Well, we've got all this building material that has fallen down. All these wonderful bricks that are there, right? It's time to start building again. But we are not going to build on the foundations that they once stood upon, because they are worthless. They have proved themselves not to be worthy of the building up of our life. Take the rubble, take the bricks that have fallen, the stones that have fallen, and build again on the foundation of Jesus. Because no matter what has shaken in this last year, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has not shaken. Understand what I mean when I say that? Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Everything built upon Him does not shake. So, it's been a good year, right? And this next year is even going to be better. Don't you believe? To be able to see with great clarity the truth in our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for drawing good from the destruction we see around us. Father, help us to build in this year upon Jesus, who is the light of the world. May our actions express our faith. Faith that was so much greater and fuller than the faith of the wise men who left everything to come and search for Jesus. We have Jesus. We should act boldly and courageously, building upon Him. God doesn't want the destruction of your life. What he wants is your life to be built upon him. He wants all of your work, all of your effort, all of your endeavors to be put on a solid foundation that will stand the test of time. So, I hope you guys are ready to get dirty. Get your work gloves out, your aprons, your sledgehammers, your cement bags. It's time to build, but to build on the foundation